So we're going to jump into the Word of God this morning, and we're going to be in Luke, the first chapter. In the 46th through the 55th verse, and we will go ahead and we will get to those verses in a moment. But before we do, I wanted to ask you, do you ever sing by yourself? Just because? When was the last time you did it? I love to hear people sing when they don't know anyone is listening. We do that sometimes, don't we? I mean, think about it. We sing in the shower, or we sing to our pets, or we sing to very small children, and when we do it just for the joy of it. It's a funny thing if you think about it. I mean, what is singing? We take these tones that we use when we're speaking, and then we sort of stretch them out, and that gives them new meaning. But, I mean, it's an interesting phenomenon, isn't it? And when you're singing, I mean, just singing from the heart, you really don't care too much if you get the words right. Sometimes even if you get the music right, if you can't carry a tune. My dad was like that. He could not carry a tune. But every once in a while, I'd hear him sing, and I loved it because it meant that something was going on inside. And we're going to take a quick look at a song today that has a lot to teach us. It's Mary's song in Luke. And it's a song she sings to herself when she realizes what is really going on the very first Christmas. Here it is. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Now, how do we know that this is what Mary sang to herself? To answer that question, we need to take a closer look at the physician who wrote it down. Luke is the one who's telling us all about it. And Luke was a physician. He was probably a servant in a Roman household, because that was often the case for physicians at that time. And he writes about Jesus with a unique perspective. The interesting thing about Luke is that we see more of Mary's perspective than in any other of the Gospels. There are a number of very special insights in the Gospel of Luke. We find out about her stay with her relative Elizabeth when she was pregnant. We find out about Jesus' relationship to his cousin John the Baptist. We learn more about Joseph's heritage. Also about the night of Jesus' birth and about his getting left at the temple as a child by mistake. Things a mother would know. You begin to see a pattern as you look through the Gospel of Luke. And it's not that way in any of the other Gospels. We also learn what Simeon told her. And those were the words, by the way, that we said this morning we began with our scripture reading, that a sword would pierce her own soul too. And none of the other Gospels cover these things. So what is thought is that Luke sat down with her, that Luke interviewed her, that he spoke with her about everything that God had done. And you also, again, see more of Mary's perspective. You begin to hear her own voice behind the scenes when you hear things like this. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. So the Gospel of Luke is a fascinating book of the Bible. We learn so much about Jesus. We learn so much about Mary. And we're going to take a closer look this morning at Mary's song and a few vital takeaways that I hope will really encourage your faith this Christmas. The first is just look at the way that Mary praises God. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Do you see that? And then she mentions about generations calling her blessed and God doing great things for her. But after that, it's all about God. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has helped His servant Israel. Do you see? It's all about Him. Holy is His name. She's so focused on Him, and that's a beautiful thing. Because she starts with God and how good He is. Then she moves back to what God has done for her. And then she's right back to focusing on Him. And that's a great pattern for praising God. And that's a great pattern for living. It's a healthy way to go through life. Because what she's doing is she's living for Him. Do you see her focus there? It's really important to see that. Second, notice how insightful she is. Take a look at verse 51. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Well, how does she know what other people are thinking? Oh, she could tell. She may have only been 13 or 14. Mary was brilliant. Mary was a very special person, and she often could tell. She had insight. And she knew that the culture allowed for her to be stoned to death for unfaithfulness to Joseph. That's what it could allow, even though the baby within her was from the Holy Spirit. According to the laws of the day, she was technically married to Joseph. That's what being betrothed meant, and she could have been put to death for adultery. So Mary, this young girl, really, 13, 14 years old, is going through this incredible time. So you know how that is. You ever have someone give you that look? You know? But something's going on inside, right? He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Scattered them. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. She knows God is greater than her difficulties, no matter what they may be in the moment. And that starts earlier with what we saw with her focus on Him, but it also continues with her humbling herself before Him. She praises God anyhow. And you know, the interesting thing about this is that none of the good things that she is talking about have happened yet. Think about it. Jesus hasn't been born yet. But she is looking forward in advance. She is looking forward by faith, a faith that is filled with God's Spirit to the goodness that is coming. And she praises God in advance. She keeps her focus there, no matter what. No matter what her difficulties may be in the moment. And that brings us to the third and the final takeaway. There's a lot of humility here. We mentioned it a little earlier, but think about this. Mary is real people. She's down to earth. She's not afraid to talk about her neediness. Look at how she refers to herself. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Man, that's a good reminder. If I know him, if I love him, I am his servant. It's not about God giving me this fulfilled life that I want. I am his servant. And that means that my focus is to be on his purposes in this world. And that's not easy sometimes. It certainly wasn't for Mary. And in the middle of that, she's not afraid to talk about her neediness. Again, go back to, he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thought. Lord, you know all about this. You know what's going on. And she talks about humble people being filled with good things as they fear God. Now, that word fear means deep reverence and respect. And there is a place for it as we live. Because, you know, it's often a word that you don't hear people use too much when they talk about God. Do you fear God? Well, he's a God of grace. Yes, he is. But that grace doesn't make sense apart from the other part of God's character. And that, Jesus said, you know, Jesus said, fear him. I mean, it's a tough realization when we come to the place where we realize that there is a God and we ain't it, right? She humbles herself before him. And she looks forward to good things in him. And this just flows from her. And I think there's a reason for that. Look at verses 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised. Just as he promised. Even then, the promise hasn't come yet. Jesus hasn't been born. But she's taking God at his word. And she's saying, oh yes, I believe this. It's coming. It's going to happen. She takes it to heart. She trusts him. No matter what. You know, it's interesting, as you get to the end of the Old Testament, before Jesus is born, before the New Testament and the light dawns there, there's a period of about 400 years. And about 100 years before that, one of the last prophecies in the Old Testament is from Zephaniah, and it includes these words about who God is and what he will do for his people at the end of time. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Mary could sing. Because in her soul, she heard God singing over her. She praised him. She humbly trusted him. She took his word to heart. And because she did, she heard his song in her heart. And she knew that he was near. That's who Jesus is. Emmanuel, God with us. No matter what. Christmas is God's song to us that he wants us to sing back to him. So here we are. The day before Christmas. Are you ready? Not with the external stuff. The day before yesterday, Carrie and I were pulling into a parking lot at Costco. We were actually just pulling into a parking space when a guy just two spaces over backs out of his space right into the front bumper of the car that's waiting to take his. And then he drives off. And then as we get out of the car, literally within 60 seconds, we're getting out of the car and walking into the store, and this lady nearly drives over Carrie's feet. To which Carrie says, "Slow down!" It startled her. And the lady said, "Shut up!" I kid you not. I mean, just this nicely coiffed lady with a friend in a nice car. "Shut up!" And we thought, Merry Christmas. That's not Christmas. Not at all. That's the devil's bait and switch. Make it all about something else. Christmas is about a song in your soul. And you can't buy that. It's a song in your soul because of Jesus. So are you ready? Have you placed your trust in him? Have you humbled yourself before him to see yourself as a sinner who needs saving? And to see him as the Savior who can do it. Who through his blood shed on the cross can cleanse us from everything, no matter what we've done, no matter where we have been. To meet us in the most difficult places and love us with this promise that it will be better forever. Transformation waits with him. And if you've placed your faith and trust in him, he will give you a song because he is with you and he has done great things for you, just like Mary said. And you can sing even when you can't sing. When no one is looking and even when they are. Just for the joy of it. the joy of Him. And then it's Christmas. Not for a day, or a lifetime, but forever. Forever. May we pray. Have you come to Him setting the season aside except to realize, yeah, He came for us. But on that matter, have you come and have you said, yes, Lord, yes, I receive You. I receive what You did for me. Please come into my heart and life. I want a new life with You. As we come to Him humbly and sincerely, as we say to Him, Lord, I need Your help to live. I want to live not for myself. I want to live for something more. I want to live for You, with Your love and for Your love. I want You to forgive me of my sins. Only You can clean me up. But all I ask You to, and I know that's why You died for me, and I know that's why you rose from the dead, and Lord, You know where I struggle, where I still do, but I believe in You, and I reach out to You, and I call to You, save me. Oh, He has promised, whoever comes to Me, I will never turn away. Is that you this morning? Maybe you came to Him a while ago. And our adversary, the devil, with his bait and switch, would try to tell you you're not His. But you know His Spirit is drawing you this morning. You're still His. Keep loving Him. Keep seeking Him. Hold on to His promises. Turn from sin. Turn from the world. Turn to Him. Lord, we thank You for Mary. We thank You for what she told us. You are holy, and You have done great things for us. And we worship You. In Jesus' name. Amen.